Second homes, believe it or not, really tell us a lot about ourselves. It's where we realize this lifelong dream fulfilled. Second Home from Picasso.
I'm Lucy Woltman.
And I'm Andreas Mattson.
We're real estate lifers, second home connoisseurs, and really good friends.
We share untold stories of actors, athletes, business leaders, and musicians about their second homes.
There's one thing my mentor, Ruben Zuckerman, said to me when I got on a bike for the first time. Anybody can teach you a sold-out room when it's sold out. Can you teach you an empty room as if it was sold out? That sounds cliche, but just don't give up. I think when, like, at times in life where I was really close to just fully giving up and not knowing the difference between the light at the end of the tunnel or a train coming at me, it's all about the perspective, right? Push through the failure. Don't think the failure is a complete setback. Everybody comes to me as an instructor and says, thank you. And I'm like, no, thank you. Like, you were there for me just the same way I was there for you in the time that we needed each other the most.
Gosh, what fun is it to introduce today's epic Peloton instructor, Alex Toussaint. Thank you so much for joining us, Alex.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate it.
Oh, man. When I think of you and your brand, I think of motivation with a capital M. And it's just going to be such fun to talk to you today. Speaking of motivation, I got to go right into all your isms from, you know, feel good, look good, do better. My personal favorite is this ain't no daycare. How do you wake up day in and day out and bring it the way you do?
Well, first off, gratitude. Gratitude is the form of my foundation. So I always say this, and I speak in isms, but I'm about to drop an ism while I speak right now, unfortunately.
I love it.
My gratitude allows me to reach my highest altitude. So I really just kind of keep things very tailored to my everyday life, how I'm feeling in that real-time moment. And anything that I teach within class is just based off of anything that I've gone through previously, that I'm currently going through, things that I'm going to go through. I'm going to try to make it as relatable as possible to the members out there. So all the isms and these different motivational sayings are really just ideas that I come up with me and my friends and my close teammates. And I use it as self-motivation that I just happen to be sharing with the world. So everything that you hear me say is something that I need to tell myself. I just need to share it with everybody else at the same time.
I read part of your morning routine is also your yelling in the mirror.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you yelling some of these isms right back at yourself then?
You know, what's funny, I try not to yell the isms. I try to just look at myself. But sometimes I catch myself being like, man, I'm about to talk to myself how I do on the bike. And it's such a crazy whirlwind of a conversation. But I definitely do it without question.
When you're actually teaching and being filmed, are the isms planned in advance or are they just sort of coming as you're feeling it right in the classroom?
You know, what's crazy? Part of the creative process of what I've always done in my career, I'm nowhere near the space that Jay-Z's in. Let me just be very clear about what I'm about to say right now. But as him being my favorite artist and rapper, and somebody who doesn't write their lyrics down and speaks really from the heart and what he feels in that real time, I've always tried to pride myself on using that real time emotion, that real time connection to express how I'm feeling. So most of the stuff, if not 95% of the stuff that I say is not written down, it's really just connected to the music, the timing of the interval, how I'm feeling in that moment. If there's members in the room, if there's not, where the camera's placed, all these things just kind of come in the moment. But these are all ideas and conversations that I've had off the bike that I bring on the bike.
Amazing. And just while we're picking at this topic, do you get to choose your own music?
Yeah, everything. Own music, everything that I say.
You own it.
Yeah. Peloton does a very good job of allowing us to have the creative flow and process. And they put the proper producers and production assistants in place to make sure we execute the greatest content possible.
I love it. I love how you lose yourself on the rides, Alex. You're banging away on those handlebars. And it's just so apparent that,
absolutely,
that you're really feeling it. And it translates to all of us out there about riding.
That means a lot. I appreciate the love and the support. It means a lot, truly.
Well, it's very authentic. And gosh, Andreas and I were talking prior to today that it's just so hard to believe for both of us how you began your career. Share with us a little bit about that. I mean, is it really true that you started your fitness career mopping floors? It's sort of hard for me to believe as accomplished you are in a short period of time.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, thankfully, I was raised by two amazing parents who sacrificed everything to make sure myself as well as my brothers were put in a position not only to just win, but thrive in life. I just did a very bad job of living up to the family last name. I got kicked out of every school I've ever been to. I wasn't really that mentally focused. I was lost with myself in sort of the direction and purpose in life. I thankfully made it to college. My mother was an educator. Education is extremely important in my family. I made it to school, but I got to school and I bought myself time versus really going for the hard education of it, right? The school that I went to was for audio and video production, which essentially I was working on the camera side of the production, not the talent side. So we fast forward 10 years later, it's crazy how things work out. But I did 2 years of school for audio and video production. I hit a brick wall my second year of college and my car got stolen. I dropped out of school, came back home. I was living at my best friend's house, sleeping on his floor at the time. And I just needed something to do, something just to kind of wake up and not just waste hours out of the day. And a close friend of mine gave me a job as a maintenance worker at a company called Flywheel Sports over 10 years ago. I'd started mopping floors. And within that process, I was introduced to the spin industry, which I would sit on the opposite side of that door and listen to these instructors teach at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. And because I was in a dark space in life, I was getting that inspiration while not even being on the bike, just listening through that peephole right through that door. And one day with enough confidence and motivation, I walked up to the owner and I said, I can do this. I think I have the ability to teach it. She looked me dead in my face and said, you've been mopping with a purpose. If you give me 2 weeks of your time, it could change your life. And I was like, I'll give you whatever time you need. And we fast forward 10 years later and look where we are right now. So I absolutely started off mopping floors. And by God's grace, we're here 10 years later.
You started to get to kind of the light bulb moment, mm-hmm. right? Was it just the energy that this group of people were coming together? I can almost visualize it, right? You're behind the wall, but you're hearing it and you want to get into that room, right?
Yes, sir.
Did the energy transition into passion, or what was that kind of moment, that light bulb moment?
I think what happened was because I was in a dark space, that energy that you're talking about transferred into purpose for me, which led me to my passion. As somebody who was very much an athlete growing up, I also went to military school and was in a marching band, so I could play multiple instruments. And then on top of that, I just love to communicate and deal with so many different demographics of individuals and learn from so many different people and cultures. You combine all those different things into one environment, into a 45-minute class, and you come up with exactly the content and the style that I teach. A very inclusive, diverse, 30 or 45-minute experience where everybody feels welcome, motivated, pushed to their full limit, but not left behind in that process. I incorporate all those backgrounds from my worlds, and then we get the content that I teach with every single day now. So the motivation from military school, the marching band aspect, me being an athlete, just having great guidance and motivators in my personal life have led me to this path.
What would you tell your 15-year-old self now?
Oh my God, I have no idea. I would have no idea. It sounds cliche, but just don't give up. I think when, like, at times in life where I was really close to just fully giving up and not knowing the difference between the light at the end of the tunnel or a train coming at me, it's all about the perspective, right? And now I look back and I'm just like, I wish I had a little bit more confidence and faith and a little bit more just push through the failure. Don't think the failure is a complete setback. Small progression is still progression. If you're failing, you're trying. If you're trying, you're believing. And I wish I understood that concept as a kid, because I didn't try at all, because I was so scared to fail back in a bit.
Interesting. Yeah, failure is tough, especially when you're younger.
But now I love to fail. I love to fail now, because at least I'm trying. I'm learning something.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, you sound like the ultimate student, right? Whether it's learning an instrument or pursuing something else. What outside of fitness do you consume? Are you reading about wine, for instance? Are you interested in art? Tell us a little bit about outside interests.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get a little bit more into the art aspect, because I'm trying to fill out my house right now with a little bit of artwork. And I'm telling you, it's the hardest thing possible, trying to pick your proper art.
It's probably a little intimidating, right? To go into an art gallery? Yeah.
No question, because you're trying to look at the photo like you know what you're looking at. And I'm trying to decipher what's going on. But I got a lot of great people around me educating me behind the art space. I'm definitely into nature. I'm definitely trying to get outside a little bit more often and get connected to nature. I just love to be present with my people. I love to be present with the people that I love, close friends, close family. I play basketball. I'm very a simple individual. To be honest with you, I'm very much a simple individual. I love to just inspire people. I love to be home. I love to have loved ones around me, eat good food, travel a lot, go to nice places, and just, you know, overall be present with myself so I can be present with others.
Endless energy.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I love that you have sort of your gang, if you will, of close friends and family members that are so important to you. And if I'm not mistaken, you recently stayed at a Picasso in Miami. Were some of those members with you during your stay there?
Yeah, for sure. So two of my business partners who are my best friends, we travel everywhere together. We do everything together. We hang out, we party, we do business deals. We hang out with each other's families, mother and father. So having a close group of individuals around you who keep you on track from a business perspective, but also from a life perspective, is a blessing. And I always say I'm 0% lucky, 100% blessed. I am blessed for the people that I have around me, for sure.
Amazing. Well, I think, Lucy, you hit on it. You know, we got to spend some time in Miami, and I want to peer into your mindset a little bit.
Yeah.
As you're looking, and it sounds like, you know, not to put you on the spot, but kind of that you're in the markets a little bit here looking for a second home. Is that right?
Absolutely. My eyes are always open, definitely looking within the market. I purchased my first home 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was telling me it's the scariest thing to do. And I look back 2 years later, I'm like, it was the greatest thing to do.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely in the market or looking, keep my eyes open for the second property. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And, you know, when we're looking, it's so exciting. I mean, there's so many amazing and beautiful places. And so what's fun about real estate, especially when it comes to where we vacation or if we're fortunate enough to own a second home, it could tell us a lot about ourselves, who we are, what we enjoy. And so we want to peer into that a little bit. You spent time in Miami, but I know we're also even talking to you about the potential of Vail, right? And and totally different mountain town. So can you share with us, a little bit about, as you're looking, as you're shopping, what are you thinking about? What are the most important amenities? You know, what matters to you?
So for me, it's definitely a place I could create in, but also receive my peace in. I'm very big on creativity and peace at the same place. I love an environment where I could feel still, be present with myself, but also feel in motion where I don't feel stagnant as much. When you mentioned Vail, I haven't been to Colorado yet, but I'm a very big outdoors person. I love to be connected to nature. What better way to connect to nature than going to a beautiful place like Vail and have an opportunity to go skiing on those beautiful mountains, stay in a beautiful property, connecting yourself to a different environment. I've learned so much from traveling and being in a different environment and different spaces, not only about culture and individual, but about myself and what I like and what I don't like. And I always find myself coming back to Peloton with a whole new creative flow, a whole new creative direction, especially when I go into new environments. And partnering with Picasso allows me the opportunity to go to multiple places across the country, if not the world, and really start to get that creative flow. So for me, it's all about just trying to find the right location, but not only just for me, but for my business partners, because we are a team and we like to make sure that we provide ourselves a proper input so we can provide a positive output as well.
That's location, which is amazing. And location, what I heard too, it's very emotional based and how you feel and what inspires you and really pushes you for future creativity. So when it comes to the home itself, what do you hope design looks like? Or, you know, when you close your eyes, you're thinking about, okay, what is that Zen room look like? Maybe for you, though, the Zen room is a workout room, but, you know, but that's what we want to hear, right? And does it have the pool or does it need that? Or is it the big family room? And what kind of design really works for Alex?
Well, Andres, I'm going to tell you right now, it needs to have a pool.
There we go.
Priority one. It's funny you say that because in my first house, I found myself having so many different detailed necessities. One being a pool, close proximity to the city, but far enough away where I could decompress and reset from my everyday profession. Also, like enough proximity for my neighbors where we don't feel like we're on top of each other, but close enough where we feel safe. As somebody who grew up in East Hampton, grew up in a suburb environment, there's certain things that I need that my parents had in our childhood home, I need to have in my adult home. And that's it. Pool, close proximity for the neighbors, but also far enough away where we have safety and privacy. Not too busy of an environment, but like a place where I can see my neighbors walking their dogs from time to time. But as far as the house, I'm really not that picky as far as like the size of it, how many bedrooms. It's more about the feel. To just give you an idea of my first home, I looked at this property 7 times before I put in an offer. And the first 2 times, it just didn't feel right. And then I looked at a bunch of different properties across the tri-state area. And then something kept telling me, go back to this one individual property. So the 3rd time I walked through it with my business partners, 4th time I walked through it with my mom, 5th time with my brothers, 6th time by myself. And the 7th time I put an offer in. And it's all about just making sure you find the right feel. So with the second property, I'm bleeding in between a vacation home, but also a multi-unit property where I could actually rent out. So I can have extra income. So I'm going in between the both right now, seeing what the best option is. But the market will tell me that, timing will tell me that, and just my trust and faith in God would also tell me that as well.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you bring up that decision up front can feel intense, right? It can feel almost exclusively financial. But what always happens, and you just hit on it, whether it's our primary home, whether we're shopping, fortunate enough to look for a second home, the moment you start staying in it, the moment you start enjoying it with family, then it's priceless. You probably would have paid more for the home, right? And it's just
absolutely,
it's amazing that we have this transitional period of, you know, really thinking, okay, this is pure financial. You know, this is big. I see it again. I have to keep going back. And then boom, it switches, right? Just that emotional component.
Absolutely.
It's just amazing. It's amazing what real estate can really present and provide. And it's amazing to hear from you when we're talking about it.
Without question. I think for me, ever since I moved out to my house and had that little bit of separation, I've been moving at my highest level of frequency because I lived so close to my job in the city where I never had a turnoff switch where it felt like I was going from the studio bike right back into my home, right back to the studio.
That's tough.
And never having a disconnect. And now it feels like I'm able to go into the studio, give 120% and a disconnect on my drive home, walk into my environment, feel completely reset and then be able to do it all over again. So my frequency feels like I'm able to move at 110% every day simply because I'm able to walk into an environment that I call my home, that I've created my ecosystem that's full of love, peace, creativity, love, food, all the proper things that I need to move at a high level every single day. So I got to give a plug shout out to my family, honestly, my real estate agents, Nasha Pettigrew, who's an amazing individual, my best friend's mother, my second mom. I did a great job in making sure she found me the proper place first.
It is so true, that feel that one gets, you know, when you walk over the threshold, do the shoulders go down?
Yeah.
You know, do you start to really unwind? You talked about food. Do you enjoy cooking?
I do not.
You enjoy eating?
I'm not going to lie to you, Lucy. I love to eat. I will be the biggest supporter in the kitchen, but I'm definitely a consumer and not a cooker on that side.
All right. And on the heels of that, I've got to ask, who does not love the club bangers ride? Oh man, it's so much fun, Alex. Riding with a big smile on my face every time I do it. It's like a party on the bike. Do you go clubbing? I know you just celebrated your 30th birthday. You look pretty swanky in that tuxedo.
Yeah.
Are you a clubber?
That might be the last night for a while. I'm getting old out here. I'm still recovering from my birthday.
Oh, come on, man.
No, I love the party. I love to enjoy a good time. And it's funny because when I go out, I find myself doing research and development for club bangers. Oh, I'm that guy. Party, holding my phone up, Shazam it.
Always working.
You taking little notes?
I'm taking my notes.
Because
you got to keep your ears to the street. Got to keep your ears to the streets. But I love to have a good time. I'm very much an individual who loves to lock in, execute, make sure that we get our goals and our tasks taken care of throughout the week. But I definitely love to celebrate life. And even the small milestones and just waking up is definitely things I like to celebrate, for sure.
I'm starting to imagine you're in your second home, Alex. You're having a dinner party. Again, we know you're not cooking. You're going to eat. Maybe mom and dad are helping out. But the participants, the guests that are around that table, I'm starting to get an amazing kind of mental image for what that must be like, because your energy is so contagious. Are there any pals from Peloton at that table? You don't have to name them, but do you mix kind of business and pleasure when you're trying to enjoy yourself in your home?
No, for sure. I mean, it's funny because a lot of people know this. A lot of people don't know this. Every time that I walk into my house, I actually give thanks to my coworkers, because individually, we could only come so far. Collectively, look what we've been able to do together. Without their sacrifice and their daily hustle and showing up to work every single day as who they are, I don't have the opportunity to live the life that I live. So it's definitely an overall thank you to the core group, to the other instructors and individuals who show up and sacrifice to do what they do at a high level. I give thanks to them every time I walk into my house, because I know I didn't do this by myself. I know I couldn't accomplish this on my own. And you got to just make sure you always give grace and gratitude to the people that helped throughout the process. So they're my family. They're my brothers and sisters, outside of work, inside of work.
When people come into your house, your coworkers who certainly know you well, do they look around?
Take
and
their shoes off.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. What are the rules?
Take the shoes off. What do they notice about you? Are they like, oh, wow, man, this looks just like you? Is there a color scheme or something you adhere to? Is it nice and mellow, or do you like bursts of color because you're so highly energetic?
Nah, I like it nice and mellow. I'm very much, I'm doing a lot of reconstruction in my house right now, but it's a lot of black and white.
Nice.
Nice wood, nice tiles as well mixed in. The house is, if I was to describe the house, it would be somewhat in the space of like Asian modern.
Okay.
Is what I went for. Not thinking that I would ever purchase a house like that, but the previous owner did an amazing job of designing this house to the point that they're just very, very detailed out, where it's just, it doesn't feel bland. It feels like there's a lot of...
kind of zen?
Yeah. It's like each room has its own flow, its own zen.
Yeah, feng shui.
Sure. Yeah, very, very good feng shui, for sure.
Now, Picasso, we spend a lot of time thinking about bathrooms. I can attest, when I want to relax, you know, a good soaking tub, things like that are important to me. Do you care about the bathroom at all? Or are you just like, no, give me a flat screen TV and, you know, I'm happier in the living room?
Nah, I could always put a flat screen TV in the bathroom.
Yes.
That's what I'm missing.
I'm with you there. Thank you.
No, the bathroom is a critical thing. What this house actually has, I want to make sure I pronounce this correctly. It's a Japanese tub called Inferno, if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Not familiar.
It's a beautiful soaking tub. So it's actually my spa recovery room in the house. So that's definitely part of the reason why I bought the house as well.
I love it.
I love that you mentioned that.
We're doing a lot of transitioning as well, right? We talk about Peloton and through COVID and really dealing with the pandemic. And we're all still kind of getting our feet back, right? And
yes, sir.
Really trying to transition. Do you approach, I mean, when you're on the bike and you're looking at our roles now as a leader and people looking to you, have you noticed things really transition, or are you approaching things differently to help guide people through, again, your energy, people's trust and belief, and really that you talk about your top five, you know, that physical and mental health? You know, we're all going through it, right? We all, to some level. Curious how you're approaching the transition, what you're seeing is the same or different, and how you're reacting, and leading from the front?
There's one thing my mentor, Ruth Zuckerman, said to me when I got on a bike for the first time. Anybody could teach you a sold out room when it's sold out. Can you teach to an empty room as if it was sold out? And when we went from teaching in a studio to 55 members in the studio to now we're on lockdown and we're teaching live from home and I'm teaching in my apartment and I'm going back into the studio with no members, I always had that mindset of teach the class as if there was a 55 person room, even though there's nobody in that room. Are you able to switch your mindset? You're able to connect to that music in such an authentic way where it doesn't even matter if there's somebody in that room. You're able to still express yourself, still provide that same energy, that same direction, same motivation. So it's always been my mindset for the 10 years of my career. That was the first time I actually had to flip it on and like really go into that space.
Right.
Like that was the first time I had no choice. For the most part, as far as like the connections to the members, I don't want to say there's anything different. It just feels so much more purposeful as an instructor now being what we all went through as a society. Mm-hmm. And as, even though I'm an instructor, I'm on the podium and I'm teaching from the bike perspective, I'm a regular human being, a regular individual who goes through these same trials and tribulations, same emotions, same mental setbacks, same physical setbacks as a lot of these individuals out here. A lot of people just don't see it. I now have such more of an appreciation and love and respect for the Peloton community because everybody comes to me as an instructor and says, thank you. And I'm like, no, thank you. Like the love is reciprocated. Mm-hmm. You were there for me just the same way I was there for you in the time that we needed each other the most. So I try to be as receptive to the people as possible to let them know that without their love and support, without their kind messages, without them telling me I help them through a dark period of time, that's what gives me the light and inspiration to do what I do every single day. So to every member out there, that's why I take the second, I make sure I acknowledge every single member as best as I possibly can, because without them, I'm not where I am in life today. I don't have the opportunity to do what I do. I don't have the ability to live the life that I live and the ability to teach and inspire, something that provides me so much joy in life. So if there's anything that I approach different, I try not to let any member interact in a conversation go by. I try to make sure I stop for every photo. I stop for every interaction because I know how important that is. One to that member, but also to me as an instructor and as an individual who needs that light and inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we started this conversation by me saying, when I think of your brand, I think of energy. I'm going to add to that, Alex, and say that it's authenticity. Your willingness to share, whether it's, you know, from the bike or in another setting, that's a motivator for other people to share in return. Oh, I just had an ism. It's sharing is caring. Sharing is caring, right?
I like what you do. You drop that in there. That was smooth.
I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to model you. You know, that passion and again, that willingness, the way you open up, I think inspires others to share their story. And boy, isn't that make for a better world, right? When everyone's being their 100% true, authentic self.
That's right. Yes, man. I learned that from my coworkers at Peloton. Vulnerability is actually an ultimate strength. The ability to be vulnerable and express yourself is actually an ultimate strength versus a weakness. So I got to shout out to my coworkers, my colleagues. I learned that simply from being in a locker room at Peloton. I wasn't always a vulnerable person who was able to express themselves. But hanging around individuals like Robin Arzon, Jess King, Jess Sims, Emma Lovewell, you learn over time how to like teach, how to live, how to maneuver different formulas of life, different spaces of your own life. So the same inspiration that these members get from these other instructors, I'm fortunate and blessed to walk into a locker room and get that same love and inspiration. So that's just how I get it.
Alex, I'm listening to this conversation and just loving it. But what comes to mind is, you know, back to the how do you do it all? We haven't touched yet on your Do Better Foundation, which is, I'd love to hear a little bit more about that and how that came about. Really, I know one of the major focuses of your life.
Yeah, for sure. Do Better Foundation came about as me and my best friends, my best partners. I come from a Haitian family. My other partner, he comes from my Nigerian family. My other partner comes from a Korean family. And we just have this certain understanding. We come from different cultures, different backgrounds, but we all have this immigrant mindset where our parents expect a certain level of excellence from us. And our parents did a very good job of putting us all in a position to succeed. And we just now are fortunate enough to, one, individually be successful in our own lives, but collectively come together and do something powerful. And the Do Better Foundation is all about just helping the individuals from underprivileged communities, provide them with the same resources that we're provided with, whether that's through nutrition, education, after school programming, fitness, therapy, all the different resources and pillars of life that we had afforded to us. We want to provide those same resources to others out there. So it sounds crazy, but one day I woke up in the middle of COVID and I was like, I want to start a foundation. My boy looked at me and said, let's start a foundation. It's going to be hard as hell, but we will make sure we get it done. So we kind of just been staying locked in together. We're doing a lot of positive initiatives, whether that's providing meals with Feed NYC during Thanksgiving, whether that's giving back Peloton bikes and Peloton treadmills to the United States Air Force, whether that's taking kids from Elmont Memorial High School and providing them with an opportunity to come to Puma and just see what it's like to be a Puma athlete from this perspective. We're just trying to do anything possible for kids that look like us, that come from different communities, that come from communities like us as well, and just try to help them succeed in life. Those who can must. And we're in a position where we can, so we must. And that's what we believe on.
Boy, that is just so impressive. And I think you touched on this, but is it nationwide? Or are you still just kind of getting it going? Or
so we're off the ground right now. We're keeping it somewhat in the tri-state area. We work with a direct-based Andrews in Maryland. The goal is to go nationwide, if not go global. My mindset has never been keep it local. It's always to go global. But we got to start somewhere, right? We got to start small steps. Small steps lead to great distances. So we just try to take one day at a time, move our left foot in front of our right, and make sure we do the proper measurements and also execution in the process. Our goal is to go global. My goal is to take a kid from Haiti and bring him to the United States and provide him with the same education that I was provided with. Same thing for my friend who comes from Nigeria and Korea. That's a long-term goal. But we got to start somewhere where I think we're on the right foot right now.
Yeah, we have no doubt you will.
I agree.
Yeah, you can bank on that for sure. And it's so impressive. On that, you inspire many, from celebrity to us through your foundation. But who inspires you? Are there books? Are there individuals? Do you have mentors? This is a beautiful tree, right, when it comes to mentorship and really guiding individuals. And you have an immense responsibility and you have immense trust that's been built. But that had to come from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Who are your inspirations?
Without question, my mother and father. Definitely my mother being a person who never gave up on me, who's always been in my corner. And my dad, who was a tough love dad, who made sure that I never fell below the bar, but also helped me to a certain level of excellence that it's just his certain standard operating procedure. If anybody knows my dad, for those who know my dad, he's a very military minded individual. So he holds our last name to a certain standard. So definitely my parents, without question. My teachers, I got to give a lot of credit to the teachers from middle school through high school, all the way to military school. I'm a product of a lot of teachers who took extra time on me outside of just what their teacher role was required for them to do. A lot of my teachers took that extra time, extra love, made sure instead of failing me in class, it provided me extra education, extra love, extra just nurturing. I have some of the greatest mentors right now, from business to colleagues. I'm very much a sponge. I very much like to soak up a lot of information and gave from so many different people. I'm thankful for people even being receptive to share that information with me, but I got to give myself credit in the sense of information is only receptive if you allow it to be. Mm-hmm. So I did a very good job of making sure I dropped my ego at a certain point in life and just was very much like, let me soak a lot of this game in and information and knowledge just from people who care about me. We look back 30 years later and this is what we get out of it. You know what I mean? I wasn't always perfect and I'm still trying to soak up game and information. Sometimes my mentors have to tell me, they're like, yo, lock it in. Like, even though I think I'm moving at 110%, they're like, you can be doing better. So a very big key in life is surrounding yourself with individuals who are going to push your level of excellence, but not let you just meet that bar.
Is there a strategy or advice in terms of, are you doing this on a daily basis? How do you, you know, build that mentorship in, right? Because, you know, we can imagine, right? We wake up, we have our routines, we're getting on the Peloton bike, you know, and then we're heading to work. But, you know, we need that additional inspiration. So how do you think about your routine, or are you building it in? Is it a daily or weekly and getting that, you know, filling your cup essentially? Yeah.
So as somebody who loves sports, I always like to use sports analogies to the references of my life. And for basketball, from that perspective, in order to step on a basketball court, you need to have five players to start the game. And the way I like to address my week or my day, I break it down as if there are 7 days in a week, seven different opponents, Monday through Sunday, which within each day, you have to identify your starting five, your top five priorities of that day. Monday's top five priority could be different than Tuesdays, different than Wednesdays, different than Thursdays. But it is your goal to identify your top five priorities in order just to accomplish throughout the day. So just to give a prime example, top five priorities for me today are physical and mental health. Without those two, that's my foundation. I can't accomplish anything without my physical health and my mental health. Two, my family, my overall family's well-being. How are they? How are they feeling? Where are they in their life? My family means everything to me. Without their love and support, I can't also do what I do on a daily basis. My business partners and money and finances, that has to be three. We're talking about homes, we're talking about businesses.
That's right.
To come somewhere into that space. My discipline and focus would be my number four. And my overall peace and happiness is number five. Now, that's on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Potentially on Sunday, my peace and my overall happiness might switch to number one because I need to find a way to start off the week. So between just rotating your starting five, substituting something out that's burning you out too much where you have to implement a new priority, these are just different things that I try to use in my daily life to try to get through the day. And it's helped me stay focused and on track. It's allowed me to be more productive than busy. I'm trying to be less busy and more productive. So having a starting five has allowed me to do that.
You know, we looked at the NBA All-Star game and winning that MVP. So obviously basketball has always been core to your exercise routine as
Yes, sir.
Is that it's not just obviously the Peloton, but just really that's part of your day to day and putting in that work. And suddenly you're coming home with this MVP. I mean, what was that like? You know, you got to play with a lot of really interesting people and we'd love to hear about it.
For sure. It was definitely a dream come true. I, like as somebody who grew up watching basketball, that being my first love. Wanted to be an NBA player, but never had the height to do it. Never was gifted with the God-gifted abilities. Because you need a certain skill set to make it into that league. It definitely was a dream come true, without a question, to showcase my talents on national television, to show my high school friends, my high school coaches, my parents, we stay ready so we don't have to get ready. It was definitely a moment just to look back and think, anything is possible. It may sound crazy to a lot of people, like it was a random opportunity that came into play, but since my first class I ever taught 10 years ago, every pedal that I ever pushed, I pushed with the intent like I was a pro athlete. So to look back 10 years later, to have the space to play on the NBA platform on that celebrity stage, that's not by coincidence. That's not by luck. That's all by design. And that's why I'm saying we move with the purpose. We execute with intention. And behind the scenes, I play basketball a couple times a week as a form of therapy, as an expression off the bike, as a way to just release some of that negative energy or even just to find some positive energy as well. So to do it in a moment where they were like, you want to play? Are you ready? I was like, little do you know, I train on the side religiously just in case this opportunity ever presented itself. So
always ready, man.
Always ready. Without sounding too cocky or anything, my coworkers will tell you, my best friends will tell you, the minute that they sent me the invite, I told everybody I'm coming home with a trophy. Not because I thought I was better than everybody, just because I know we really do prep just in case an opportunity does present itself. And when it did, it was just time to just execute. So,
The game showed up. The game was there.
The jumper was feeling good. The jumper was feeling good that day. Legs are feeling good. It was fun, man. It was fun. Hope we go back next year. We do it again.
That's right.
Andreas, as you well know, all of our Picasso homes have Pelotons, but sounds to me like we better be considering some basketball, some space for sure.
That might be the ultimate amenity.
Absolutely. I mean, the ultimate amenity.
That might be right behind the Peloton pool, right? The double P's and then the basketball.
This is incredibly inspiring. I think, you know, it does take a lot of energy, and we know that, and we appreciate that, you know, that energy carries forward, and it's just such a pleasure to get to meet you and have some fun together and feel inspired and learn these tips and tricks at the same time. I mean, you should see my notepad here and just really appreciate your time.
No, and I thank you all for this opportunity to speak on this platform, and most importantly for the partnership, because an opportunity to go reset my head and take my family, my team over to Picasso Homes, and just, I don't think people understand how important that is. To be able to disconnect, to reconnect, and have an opportunity to do it with Picasso is everything. So thank you. And I'm glad the world's going to be able to see how I go to a different flow off the bike and how I live my life off the bike and how I make sure I overflow so that way I can pour out to other people. So
thanks a mil, Alex, for joining us today. Really appreciate it. I'll see you on the bike and look forward to the next Club Bangers ride.
I'm hoping to see you in person in the studio as well. Not just on the bike, but hopefully in the studio as well.
I will be there.
Well, I got a front row seat for you. You just let me know and I got a front row seat for you, right?
Oh, there you go. Andreas, you better join me for that.
I'm there for sure. I mean, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty.
Come through, Andreas. Come through, baby.
I'll be there.
Hey, but you showed up and that's all that matters, baby.
That matters. You got to show up and just give it all you got. Right, Alex?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Thanks so much for joining us.
You as well. Peace, family. Much love.
We had a blast, and I hope you had a great time listening and hearing these insights.
If you love the show, take a moment. Rate us, review us, tell us what you think. Please subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. To learn more about Picasso, visit pacaso.com.